Welcome everyone to the October meeting, Meander Valley Council 2021. So, security procedures are located on the wall near the entry to the chambers. In the unlikely hood of an emergency evacuation, alarm will sound and evacuation wardens will assist with the evacuation. When directed, everyone will be required to exit in an orderly fashion through the front doors and go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park at the side of the town hall. Okay, you have the agenda in front of you, working our way through it. Present, we have apologies from Councillor Tanya King for this meeting. In attendance, are noted. Move on to the confirmation of the minutes. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second the minutes that were presented on the 14th of September? Councillor White, seconder, please. Councillor Sheriff. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Against? Councillor Sinfield against? Councillor Sinfield against. Thank you. Council workshops held since last meeting are itemised. You've got announcements by the Mayor. Announcements for councillors. Any councillors, any announcements? No? Thank you. Declarations of interest, General Manager?
Yes, we have two.
Yours is not on. Try it again. Nope. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay, we have one from Councillor King, who was advised a conflict of interest in respect of agenda item PA2. We have Councillor Sheriff advising conflict of interest in terms of PA1 and PA3, and Councillor Cameron in respect of governance 2.
Thank you, Jim. Tabling actions of petitions are nil. Right, we'll move into public question time. Page. So, public question time. We've got questions taken on notice which have been responded to. There are no public questions with notice. Public questions without notice. I'll ask those that have questions to indicate, come forward, state your name, and ask the questions if there are any. Thank you.
Hi, it's Heather Donaldson. I live in Westbury. My first question is to the Mayor. Many of us were very upset about the sudden resignation of Frank Knott. And I'm actually wondering if it's possible for Council to have some kind of little farewell, maybe in the supper room, afternoon tea or something, so that those of us in the community can thank and farewell Frank.
I'll take that on notice.
Okay, thanks. My second question is, I am quite upset about what I see as a growing rift between council and some members in our community. I don't know who to ask this question to, but wouldn't it be better to invite the people concerned to sit down with council and discuss and try and resolve the problems on both sides rather than banning them from the building?
A question of all of us, Heather?
I don't know who to ask that question of. I just feel really strongly we need to deal with it.
Yeah, obviously it would be, and time's gone past, that offer has been made on both sides, so I guess there has to be give and take on both sides for that to occur.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? Thank you for the questions. Moving on to Councillor question time. Councillor questions taken on notice, there are nil. Councillor questions with notice, there are nil. Councillor questions without notice. Questions, Councillor White. Can you use your microphone too, Councillor Watt?
I can. So just concerning the change of name from Classic Drive to street name from Classic Drive to Night Train Drive, in my discussions with Jared Allen this morning, he agreed that the process of notifying residents of the date of the change be amended from informing residents after the event to giving notice of the date of change 7 days prior to the change being effected. Can Council confirm that this amendment will be effected?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes.
Thanks, Councillor Watt. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question. Is there any update on any developments with the proposed prison?
General Manager.
No, Councillor.
Just want to clarify that I did receive a letter from Elise Archer, which is in the correspondence that went out to councillors this week, which informed council that they'd received the submissions that were put forward from the public meeting, they'd received those, and also from memory that they were continuing on with their studies with the current location of the proposed prison. So, thanks, Councillor Temple. Any other questions, councillors? Well, take that as no. Deputations from members of the public. Neil? Very good. Moving on. So, planning authority items. For the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, councillors acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act of 1993. We have Planning Authority 1. Do we have somebody to speak to that before we move? Here it is. Simon Cool. So, Councillor Sheriff, you've got access to the... Over there? Hang on. John's got it. So we've got Simon to talk. He's not in. Yep. Hey, Simon, I'll ask you to tell us your name, where you live, and you've got 3 minutes to address councillors. Welcome today.
Hi, I'm Simon Cool from Westbury, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'd like to make 7 points clear. One, we weren't advised in our planning review that an ag report was needed. If we had been, we would have submitted one with our planning application. Two, we are acutely aware of the high level of care required for livestock, and believe it is crucial to have a daily presence, especially during calving, weaning and extreme weather. But issues that need quick action can come up at any time. With the sale of the farm that we live on, we face the very real possibility of having to relocate to Launceston, Deloraine or further to secure suitable housing for my family. Three, we have been consulting with Jason Lynch from Pinion Advisory, and we believe that the use of the proposed building envelope for a residence would not detract from the agricultural potential of the whole site, would support the cattle operation and fulfil the requirement for ensuring animal health and welfare, which is the same on a small farm as it is for a commercial scale. Living on this land and running a small-scale beef herd is consistent with what he has seen in and around Westbury and throughout the Meander Valley. Four, We will be focusing on making this land reach its full potential and believe we can initially double current stocking rates by improving our pasture and rotational grazing. This will be our best paddock, not just someone's back block, and we are motivated to use the land more effectively than it currently is. 5. A dwelling and all-weather access road on this land will benefit anyone who owns it, whether as a residence for us or, if farmed in conjunction with neighbouring land, as a rental, worker accommodation or a farmstay B&B. This extra source of income can be pretty handy when you're at the mercy of the weather, the market and the bank. 6. We love being part of the local community and are acutely aware that as large enterprises swallow up smaller farms, this vital support network suffers. 7. We're willing to fight to be able to build on this land. We will be the third generation to own it, and it means more to us than it would to anyone else. This is a starting point for us, and we are aware of the potential to diversify in the future. We know this operation will not be of a commercial scale, as the size of the property will not support that, but we will farm it well, and this will allow us to support local businesses in the area long term as we bring up our family here. We understand the planning scheme has a purpose to protect agricultural land, and we support that. But if it's okay to rezone agricultural land for a subdivision or subdivide Class 3 land nearby, then we could be forgiven for asking the question, is the planning scheme achieving its purpose if we can't build one house on our Class 5 land to support our farm? Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Okay, councillors, in front of us is Planning Authority 1. I'll ask somebody to move and somebody to second the motion as it sits. I'll ask again, is there a mover and a seconder for the motion as it sits at the moment? I'll take that as a lapse of the motion as it sits. Is there any foreshadowed motions?
I shall repeat, I would like to vote yes.
For a foreshadowed motion?
For the shadowed motion.
Okay,
yes.
do we have the foreshadowed motion?
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll just wait for a foreshadowed motion to come forward. Yep, so the foreshadowed motion has been circulated to councillors. So while that's coming up and aware that it's been... Yep. So the foreshadowed motion is up. I stand corrected. I'm glad that you guys are reading it. Okay, so Councillor Frederick moved. Do we need a second? Do we have a second of that? Councillor White is a seconder for that. Thank you. So, that the application for use and development of single dwelling, outbuilding, associated works on the land. And she scrolled away from me, that's all right. I've got it somewhere. It's there. That with the following recommendations and conditions on the basis that it is determined that the residential use is required as part of the agriculture use. As the mover of the motion, Councillor Frederick, any comments? Any?
I just fully support the...
Yeah, that's on.
See, everybody wants to correct me all the
time. No, it's all right. We just want to make sure that being recorded.
I just fully support the whole idea of what the family is trying to do. I looked at it from an agriculture point of view, and I think that a lot of potential in the place have been totally ignored, and I really believe that they will make a success.
Thank you. Councillor White is the seconder of the motion.
Yes, thank you. I believe that the argument for a residence on the land is compelling, not least in the light of my experience at a local conference on farmers for climate action, and a lot of the content of that was about regenerative farming. Now, one of the principles involved in this was that stock rotation is more frequent, and in order to achieve better biomass in the soil, not avoid overgrazing, which of course has got a different, what would you say, structure from maybe style of farming that has gone before. It certainly supports the idea of a residence being on the property in order for that close supervision and frequent rotation of grazing. So that's why I would support having a dwelling on the property.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors? Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to really, agree with both Councillor Friedrich and Councillor White. My experience, myself, having animals, is there's you need to look after them yourself, and there's no better way to do that than to be living with them. So I absolutely support that. Just want to note to say thank you to George Walker for his work on behalf of council, and also for Simon for speaking today, because I understand how difficult it can be. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillors, any other comments? Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, thank you. In January this year, we approved a house on a property at Western Creek on smaller acreage than this. Land classification was basically the same as this property, and for a cattle operation. So in terms of consistency of argument, for me it's a no-brainer to approve this, and for all the reasons already stated, I just think it's the way to go. On a per hectare basis, I see, you know, whether or not you've got a 1,000 hectares or 10, if you're going to farm it and farm it properly, then it doesn't matter whether, in one sense, whether it's attached to something or not. And I wish them all the best in their endeavours going forward.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors comment? Yes. Thanks, Jackie, with the consent of the... Thank you. Thanks for that procedural. My view is the same as what's been spoken around the table today. For a couple to start off their farming enterprise, I wish you luck as a farmer that's been doing it for quite a while. Good luck, in all seriousness, because it's not easy. So, but it is good to see younger people coming through and having a go, and it is good that we've got a result, I think, that will help you along your path. So I'll be supporting it. So thanks. Any other comments? If not, I'll go back to Councillor White as the seconder. Any other comments, Councillor? Thank you. Councillor Friedrich? Nope. Okay, I'll put the motion. So all those in favour of the motion as it stands, please raise your hand and say aye. Against? That is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you. Planning Authority 2. So, Planning Authority 2, We have two people to speak. George Walkett, you're up, please.
Thank you, Mayor and councillors. I have to introduce myself first. George Walker, I'm the applicant on behalf of 60 Degrees for planning item two. Dear Mayor and councillors, would like to take this opportunity to provide you with the following information regarding the owner of the land and the design of the proposed subdivision. The owner was born and raised in Westbury and understands and respects the opinions that have been expressed by the local community during the public exhibition period for the application. It's the owner's intention to add two additional lots to the existing house. The proposed subdivision has followed the guidelines of the recently adopted Westbury specific area plan, which was developed in consultation with the local community. In this regard, there will be not more than three lots for each 2 hectares of land. One lot will have an area of 1 hectare. Two lots will be greater than 5,000 square metres, and each lot will be capable of containing a 60 metre diameter circle. The site was previously owned by the current owner's grandmother. As such, the design of the proposed subdivision has sought to contain the existing dwelling on the largest lot, to retain as much of the existing character as possible, whilst providing an additional stream of revenue in the future if required. The design of the proposed subdivision ensures that all proposed lots will be accessed from Jones Street South without the need to build a road in the unmained road reserve to the south. It is also intended to retain as much of the hawthorn hedge along Jones Street South as far as practical, recognising that the hedgerows add to the charm of Westbury. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, George. Tanya King.
My name's Tanya King and I live at 18 Clark Street, Westbury. Thank you, Mayor and Councillors, for the opportunity to speak today. For personal reasons, I am an apology to today's meeting and I address you today not as a councillor but as a ratepayer. The views I express are my own personal views and also of Danny. I want it clear that I do not speak as a councillor or on behalf of council, but as a person affected by the current planning scheme and a particular application. I also want to make it clear that I do not expect any favours from councillors. I simply ask that you consider our views on their merit. Danny and I purchased our property at 18 Clark Street, Westbury in January of 2006. We landed here after extensively searching for an acreage with a house in Longford and the surrounding areas. Available properties were either too small or too big. And when we widened our search area, we ended up in Westbury, with options of a couple of available properties that met our requirements, and we settled on our current address. These Westbury lifestyle properties are unique. The amenity that they provide is not easily found, and our experience is testament to that. When we first purchased our home on 8 acres, it was not able to be subdivided. Fine with us. Why would you want to? We're raising our girls on this property and giving them the opportunities we both had growing up on lifestyle properties on the northwest coast. Last month, property owner Sarah Pike lodged an application via a third party to subdivide the property 277 Jones Street. Disappointed with the application and not wanting to see the property carved up for short-term financial gain, we set about investigating our options. Now, I don't know Sarah personally, but it's a rural town where most people know someone who does. So I rang Sarah's mum, Phyllis, who did not give me her number, but explained that she lives in a unit in Sydney, was currently in lockdown, but she'd talk to her and have Sarah contact us. After a couple of days and after hearing nothing, I called her father, David, to request his daughter's contact details. David advised that I'd be best to go back to Phyllis and follow up with her. I saw Phyllis at a local horse event the next day and asked if she had managed to contact Sarah, and she advised that she had, but there was no point speaking with her. The subdivision application has been lodged. There's a process to follow and we can use the appropriate channels to raise our concerns. Even after explaining that we wanted to have a conversation about the feasibility of purchase, there was little interest. Now, I've witnessed many times Council's planning department advise representatives that if they don't like what's happening next door, then one option is to purchase the property. Discussions at home were erring toward this option, and action was taken to put our money where our mouth is and to make an offer on the property to the owner. We set about making a serious attempt to do this. Further attempts to contact the property owner via George at 60 Proprietary Limited, Roberts Real Estate as the agents currently managing the property's tenants, and Council. All of these agencies offered to contact Sarah on our behalf and request that she reach out to her to discuss the feasibility of us purchasing the property. We've heard nothing. With the introduction of the special area plan, this council has allowed these properties to be subdivided at the detriment to the fabric of the town. We are losing these properties for the short-term financial gain of a greedy few at the expense of the amenity that these properties provide. Time and time again, since the inception of the specific area plan, we've seen several Westbury subdivisions come before council as long-standing residents and landowners share their displeasure at the prospect of their neighbouring properties being subdivided and the amenity that they once had destroyed forevermore. I have empathised with these residents and tried to see things from their perspective. Now I understand exactly how they feel. The application before you all today does not lend itself to subdivision, as it is not proposed to be laid out as intended by the planners, with a lifestyle block being split in two and then one of those parcels in half again. This is because the property only has one road frontage, creating the necessity for battle axe driveways with very poor amenity. Long gravel driveways, along with increased traffic movements on the existing gravel roads as density increases, creating more dust to settle on roof spaces used for water catchments, coupled with the fact that these are flat blocks that are poorly drained in winter, yet council seem to be happy to intensify the number of septic tanks in these areas with completely unserviced blocks. I have no issue with the area being unserviced. In fact, we bought it that way intentionally, and we're quite happy with the way it is.
I'll ask you to wrap up, Tanya.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Tanya. Okay, no more representatives. PA 2, do I have somebody to move the motion? Councillor Cameron, thank you. A seconder, please. Councillor Kelly. Do we have anyone sitting out there at the moment? Is anyone out there? There is? Oh, there is, sorry. Okay. I'm going to close the gates, but that's all right. All right, so Councillor Cameron, as the mover of the motion.
Thank you. I was going to speak to Tanya, but Tanya's gone. But, look, I think this is hard. This is really, really hard, and I know how personally affected Tanya is by this and some other residents. But we went out to the Westbury residents for better or for worse, and we came back with a result that we all agreed on, or we made a decision. And as much as I look at this and, you know, and think, right, bit strange, not sure why I'd want to do that, but it's allowed, and I will have to support it.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly has seconded.
Yes, I'd like to thank Tanya for her presentation, even though she's not here, and Danny's here to witness. We've been through these time and time again, and acting as a planning authority, our hands are generally fairly tied when it comes to people that can do a subdivision within the law. So we don't really have too many options other than to approve the recommendations, because if it was to go to a tribunal, one would assume there'd be a very high chance of council losing it if we don't support it. I did go and have a look this morning, and yes, I can definitely understand the King's concerns with where things are looking. South Street access would be a better option, but we don't have that option in front of us, and there's still a long way down the track for that, so I'll open it up for debate.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for other councillors. Discussion, question, Councillor Sheriff.
Look at that. Councillor Cameron and Councillor King, Kelly said, when acting as planning authority, it makes it very hard for us. I do sympathise with Tanya. I put myself in her shoes and think if I lived in the same situation, I'd be annoyed and want to buy it myself, but obviously she's tried that. But it is very difficult for us as acting as planning authority, and sometimes I wonder why we even vote on some of those things, because, you know, if we didn't vote for the proposal and it went to tribunal, we'd cost the ratepayers money and probably lose anyway. So I can't really relate to the common sense in that, but unfortunately I'm going to have to support it because it does tick all the boxes with the planning authority. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Sheriff. Councillors, any other questions, comments? Councillor Sinfield.
I realise there's an assessment here dealing with this and is recommended for approval. I cannot support it because 7.10.2 of the scheme, clause thereof, says that an application must only be approved under subclause 7.10.1 if there is no unreasonable detrimental impact on adjoining uses or the amenity of the surrounding area. I cannot be satisfied that the answer to that is not in fact no. I do believe there is detrimental impact on the surrounding area. One of the examples already cited is the arrangement of battle axe handles next to parallel to road reserves. It's to me a ludicrous use of space, and I think the proximity of those roads and dusts has been addressed by Tanya in her submission is valid, and we are not the, by way of interest, the scheme goes on to say that in exercise under 7.10.3, in exercising its discretion under the previous two clauses of the planning scheme, the planning authority must have regard to the purpose of the zone, purpose of the code, any relevant local area objectives, and the purpose of any applicable specific area plan. They're addressed adequately, but it doesn't limit you to those considerations. You, under the law, as I understand it and has been stated in the Supreme Court, can go beyond that. And in my view, there, as I said, 7.10.2, I see that there are a range of issues that will affect on the amenity of surrounding property owners, and for that reason I won't be able to support it in its current state. If it had come back as, or were to come back as a addressing access off South Street, for example, that would be an improvement. I just do not see the current arrangement as ticking the boxes that I can support.
And thanks.
Accordingly, I won't.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor White. Okay, thank you. Any other councillors for comment? I'll make a comment that, I can concur with councillors that sit around at the moment. We did go out as a survey to landowners in the last 12 months asking them what their thoughts were on the 5-acre blocks. We did get representation back. We made some changes which we hoped would help. But obviously it's a tough one when the land beside you comes up and there's changes. And from a farming background and where I am at Meander with 27 odd neighbours up there, they're changing all the time, unfortunately. But I do feel for those people with 5 acre blocks that want to retain the nature of the 5 acre blocks. But on this one, I can't bring myself to go against the way I've voted in previous applications on this one when we act as a planning authority. So I'll be supporting the motion. All right. Anything else? Anyone else, councillors? If not, I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Kelly.
No, look, I don't think there's that much more that we can add. We've all had a relatively good discussion on it.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion.
Nothing to add except I forgot to mention thanks to Heidi for your work as well.
Yep. Okay, I'll put the motion, please. All those in favour, please raise your hands and say aye. All right, got that, Chloe? And those against?
I would like to abstain on this one.
You can, Michael. That's two against and one abstaining. Thank you. Motion is passed. Planning Authority 3. Sorry? Oh, yeah. Andy, you're out again. All right, PA3, sorry? Andy's in there, yep. So we've got Barry Lee to make a present comment to council.
Yeah, first of all, before I start, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. There's a couple of points. I put in my representation on time and I followed up with some questions. Apparently the planning department were trying to contact me, but I didn't submit a telephone number, so there was no contact. But I am in the phone book, so I made contact yesterday morning and was told that the questions were too late. So I just want someone to tell me why they were not listed for today. I don't want them answered. I just want to know why, for future, why they were not listed in the agenda for today.
You want to talk to that? Please, Jackie.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I believe it was me that spoke to Mr. Lee yesterday. So we had a conversation about the questions that you submitted to public question time. They were all very specifically related to a planning application. And so what was done is those questions were provided to the chair. The chair made the decision on advice that, as we normally do, they would not be accepted as a matter of procedural fairness because they relate to an agenda item. And those issues can be raised with councillors through other means if you wish to raise them, but not in public question time. And the reason for that is that we can't have debate on planning items at this point in time, and that you'd be afforded the 3 minutes that we'd normally provide to representors and developers.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll start off. My name is Barry John Lee. I was born in Lyle Street, Westby, in 1947. I'm a former deputy council clerk. Now, that became about because in about 1969, the council clerk at the time was tapering off and the chief clerk, Mr. Fellows, was to take the council clerk's position. And I was a junior clerk. But unfortunately, the senior council clerk decided he wouldn't taper off and retire, so our chief clerk resigned and went into business cutting logs around Berrylee Road and these sort of places. So I had to take over, and I was 19 years of age. In those days, people got a fair hearing. We had three ward councillors. If there was anything like a planning application, the three ward councillors, or two of those, would go onto the block with anyone and discuss it before a council meeting. I've had no contact with any councillor around this table. I have had no contact with any officer around this table other than what was in my representation, which I'd like to be put up on the board shortly. That is a cricket ball. I've played to the rules. I've represented Westbury in senior football, cricket, badminton, and I've played in the second oldest cricket club in the world, in England. That's number one. Number two, this is an umpire's whistle. The P is stuck in there. This is an old Meander Valley Council whistle with a P that's stuck because it hasn't been blown. Now I'm at the garbage. I'm driving a garbage truck and I'm starting the process from the sports centre. 50 years ago, my late wife, went into a competition to raise money for that particular building, and she was declared Miss Westbury. She was drop-dead gorgeous girl, and she raised money for that community centre. Who bought the land but the 20-year-old that was working in the office? So I'll start today looking forward, looking back. I've done all the right things. I've contacted the council and got incorrect information. I've spoken to the developer, who I've known for 45 years, and got incorrect information. Why would I ask him for something that he says I already know about? Okay, local government. What is local government? Local government supplies goods and service to represent and involve citizens in determining specific needs and how the needs will be met. I refer to the agenda item on the 9th of July 2019, pages 246, 247 and 248. The then general manager was comfortable with this development in Franklin and William Street. How on earth could he be comfortable with that development when he didn't know there was 8 units to be built in stage 2? How could he be comfortable recommending this to the planning authority? Lots 1 to 13. Has anyone in this room ever heard of a train backing back into the station to let off a passenger? It's now been reduced to 12 lots. There was no available title for lot 13 when a man by the name of Barry, Beadbag Barry, wanted to buy lot 13. There was no title available to build a nice house, landscaped. No way, no. There's been no train lobber noise detector for William and Franklin Streets to ascertain the train noise there, but Peyton Street, Webster Street, in the east of Westbury, there was one done there, but not for this one. There's been no traffic data flow for William and Franklin Street ever done, to my knowledge. What are the existing trends? If I ask people around the table, what is in that area, which is a unique area? We've got a bowls club, we had a childcare centre, we've got commercial operations, agriculture operations. What goes on around there? Unfortunately, what goes on is many things. You've got a sign like this, 4 metres. And just recently a hedge was taken out that was planted 10, 20 years ago that I've been maintaining. And this is up now. That's going to control the traffic. Control the traffic. We don't know what traffic's down there. But before I finish up, I'll start back at the sports centre where we have 6 units. We'll go along a little further to Southern Cross, Ainslie, that have 6. There's 2 in Franklin Street. I do own one in Allison Court, where there's 2. That's 10. There's 10 at Franklin Gardens in Stage 1. And in the planning advice, it doesn't mention that they're set aside for 15 more units in the Deloraine Aged Care Scheme.
You're out to 5 minutes, Barry.
Okay, 44 units. And now you're putting a proposal here, a planning proposal for another 8 to make 52 units in an area of 120 metres.
Meander Valley has changed the existing fabric. Are you comfortable with the strategic priorities of this planning arrangement? Have you been forced by greedy developers to approve these plans? I've been a member of the community here. I can tell you what I've done over the years. If you know about the sports, I was the first secretary for the SES. I was the charter secretary for the Lions Club of Deloraine. I played a big part in the community shed. And my family have spent 40 years working for this council. Supervisor of Works for 25 years, and my father worked for Deloraine Municipality, Westbury Municipality and the Longford Municipality. And I'm disgusted, totally disgusted with this council. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Okay. Planning Authority 3. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to then second the motion as it sits at the moment? Well, I'll ask again. Somebody like to move it? Councillor Cameron. Seconder. Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Cameron has the move of the motion.
Thanks, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Lee, for coming along. And I must admit, I looked at the page here and thought I'd like to find your phone number. And me being the generation that I'm from, I actually didn't even think of using the phone book. So that's a lesson learnt for me. I know that area quite well. I've got some friends that live down there, and I'd be interested to know what your questions were, actually, but that's probably for another time. But unit development is an interesting one. I previously had 8 units built next to where I was living. Not sure whether I was that excited about it. I don't live there now, and I'm certainly not excited about it. They're in the stages of getting built, and it's pretty ghastly. But they do have a place. And I hope that some of your concerns may be... there's a section up here talking about the turning head, and I hope that might alleviate some of your concerns. But, look, I think the last two items we've spoken about with planning, I don't know if we're ever going to get it perfect, particularly in Westbury, but if it meets the criteria, then that is something that we have to be very mindful of.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor White...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I share your concerns, Mr. Lee. I was very perturbed myself when I saw the density of the development. But just to go back to Councillor Cameron's final remark, it complies with the planning scheme, and we can't refuse it unless there are good grounds. So very reluctantly, I'm seconding the proposal.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for debate, discussion, councillors. None. Councillor Sinfield.
Yes. Thanks, Barry, Mr. Lee, for your presentation. And apologies for not getting in touch. And I was in your very close proximity the other day and should have yelled out across the street and had a conversation, so I apologise for that. I won't be supporting this. Again, it's very minimal, the methodology for saying it doesn't comply with the scheme, but in my view, as an overall comment, I just believe the fact that there are issues with private open space, and for me, in a general sense, things like the lack of a footpath, it is so dense, so packed in, without what I would think, yes, you don't have to go too far to some amenity in terms of town centre and an oval and that sort of thing, but for me, we have in Westbury in the past, in Quamby Courts, an example where we reduced the number of dwellings by one or two some years ago to make it more spacious. I think this is an example where such an approach ought to have been attempted. So it's not about not allowing somebody to develop their land, but in my view, in a reasonable way, and I don't see this as ticking all the boxes that would allow me to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Other councillors, discussions? Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things. I look at them and go, well, they're jammed in. However, there must be a demand for units, and people are quite clearly taking them up because we've had a lot before us. And all the other councils have pretty much covered off on it. As we're acting as a planning authority, we're fairly much hamstrung with these types of things. But it would be nice to see developers down the track probably put a bit more space between them.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. I'd like to say to Mr. Lee, thank you for your presentation. I allowed you to go further, but that's fine. I wanted to hear what you had to say, Barry. Thanks for your representation in the agenda. Unfortunately, things do change, and we do sit here not as a councillor for Westbury as such, but as a councillor for the municipality. Having said that, there are or were three councillors that represented Westbury sitting around the table that you would hope would fight hard for the Westbury community, the same as what I guess each of us represent our own little patch, but overall we represent the municipality. And I understand where you're coming from, and as Councillor Kelly has said, supply and demand usually dictates what can be built and what can be sold. And again, I sit here as the last couple of planning authorities with a planning authority hat on, thinking it ticks the boxes, so I'll be supporting it as it sits. Thank you. Councillors, any other councillors want to make comment before I go back to the vote? Councillor Fyderick?
Yeah, if I may, I will not support that motion. I've looked at it carefully. I cannot agree with that sort of development in a what is a rural area anyway. It doesn't matter on the areas. There is a lot of answers there to be, or questions rather, to be answered, which I'm certainly not satisfied with. Parking space, standing around space, visitors parking space, sewerage, you name it, it's all there, all of the above. And I will also go back to what Councillor Sheriff said. Mr. Lee, this is my first official meeting, so don't throw us all into the same bag. We're not all... yeah, thank you.
No debate. Thanks, Barry.
And, yeah, sorry about that. Why are we going through the trauma we cause to people if we can't do anything about it? If a mistake was made in the past, we're going to go forever and use, oh, well, it's part of the planning scheme that somebody agreed. I think that the whole thing should be reviewed. And we cannot say we tick the boxes. That's not what we're here for. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. And we will probably have a discussion with you on that going forward as you get your head around the planning scheme and authority. No other comments. I'll go back to Councillor White. She just put a chocolate in her mouth. Okay. Councillor White is the seconder of the motion. Thank you. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion.
No, other probably just comment I want to make is I'm not here to tick boxes, and that's not flippant, and I do take this very seriously, so to suggest otherwise is slightly offensive. But maybe my comment to the planners is, could we possibly make a time for Mr. Lee to have a conversation to try and clear up some of his concerns that he has going into the future?
Yeah, obviously
not
there's...
Not sure if it's planners, but
no,
to have a
obviously Mr. Lee's... Questions came in at last to be asked in public question time, and
it'd just be good to sort of have a sit down with him and clear up his concerns.
All right, thank you. So on that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Against? That's 3 against. Councillors Frederick, Temple, Sinfield. Thank you. The motion is passed. Thank you. 4-3. Thank you. Thanks, Barry. Planning Authority 4. Sorry, we have a Zoom coming in from on behalf of the developers. Brief adjournment. Okay, brief adjournment, councillors. Yep, you go. That's fine. No. John Tibble, little boys' room, maybe.
So we're just adjourned momentarily, guys, and we'll be back on in a moment.
Okay. Here he comes. All right, councillors, point of order. Planning Authority 4. Planning for Authority 4, there is a slight change. Joe, you're at the head of the table.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, no, okay.
Is that, anyway. Yeah, sorry, just a couple of typos correction. The reference to the section of the Act has been changed to section 40K. It's just typo error on my behalf. It referred to an old section, and it's no longer the former provisions, it's just the provisions.
Right.
So that's reflected through the body of the report. I just didn't change the recommendation.
Thank you. Right. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second. I'll ask again. Somebody would like to move. Somebody would like to second. Councillor Kelly as a mover. That's all right. So we're just starting. So Councillor Kelly has moved. Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Sheriff, thank you. Councillor Kelly as the mover of the motion.
No, just open up for discussion, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Sheriff as a seconder.
Same. Happy
thank
to
you.
Discussion on it, thanks.
Okay, open up for discussion, councillors. Question, comments, queries. If there are none, I'll go through pretty quick. Councillor Cameron.
Oh, just good to see you back, Joe. I just wanted to. I think we've spoken about this a fair bit in the past. And appreciate the immense amount of work that goes into it. But there was a comment in there speaking again about traffic and from a representative. And I've asked this of you before, but obviously people in that area look at this and some other developments and think, ah, that's pretty hectic. And we've had a discussion about traffic, but just for the purpose of this, would you be able to explain the plan for traffic in the future?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. As we discussed in the early days when we first initiated this amendment, and also in conjunction with other subdivisions in the area as well, in the vicinity and at Blackstone Heights, we're seeking to undertake a couple of studies. There's one in conjunction with Launceston City Council, and we'll be doing the traffic and development plan associated with the review of the Blackstone Heights and Prospect Vale structure plan. So initial traffic advice has been that the roads can take the additional traffic, but we talked about now it's time to start planning in detail the timing of other interventions, such as continuing that link through from Mount Leslie Road to Pitcher Parade, roundabouts to manage speed and flow and dispersal, and start getting a better dispersed traffic network in. Also, when you look at the concept plan for this subdivision, there are future additional outlets at the top when the additional link goes through at the top of Blackstone Heights, and also looking at the roundabout type arrangement for the entrance to this particular estate. So the conversation about traffic is the same. Yes, it's busy. All the traffic advice from both our advisory engineer, Richard Burke, and also the applicant's traffic engineer, which was Keith Midson, are that the roads have capacity, but flow needs to be better managed. And by doing the traffic and development plan, we'll figure out things such as timing when things go in, potential for developer contribution to that infrastructure, but it also gives us a solid platform to go after federal money for infrastructure.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillors, any other questions, comments? Councillor Sinfield?
Yes, I've consistently, I think I have anyway, voted against this for the benefit of the applicant or the applicant's representative listening in. Not because I've got any aversion to what's being proposed whatsoever. I think it's a great revisit of the use of the land. Totally supportive of that, but I do have issues in terms of some of the issues, and as mentioned today, in terms of traffic, etc. I will probably abstain because in the time that I've had available to look and consider this, I'm not, in one sense, I don't have an aversion to what's the recommendation is, but does it send a message that I've changed my position on the issues of traffic access, etc. So I think it's safer to abstain on that basis. As I say, I think it is a tremendous concept overall. Just have some specific issues in terms of traffic, etc.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Any other comments? Councillor Frederick?
Can I just ask a question? It's everything is housing. Everything is talking about is housing, right? Is there any place for shops and that sort of thing? Is that in the plan?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So local shops and things like a medical centre and a chemist or a childcare centre are things that you can have in the zone, and the applicant is considering as part of the what we're now re-terming the apartment building section of the plan, looking at options potentially to incorporate those types of facilities. At any point in time, any operator can come in and look at establishing those types of local facilities within this type of residential zone. The zone provides for that.
Sure. One more.
Obviously, you have a traffic issue. So if you have a inside the development, if you have the facilities that would mitigate the traffic issue to a point, people wouldn't have to travel to go and get a cup of coffee and what have you. Would you consider allocate certain spaces or prescribe that there should be certain spaces? Because it's quite a development. I mean, I'm all for it. Sorry, too ahead. I think it's very good. But basically worries me that, again, you're building something, big housing scheme, and then everybody moves for a cup of coffee in the morning, then they all move back again, and Woolworths and God knows what not. So I would have thought that they would zone a shopping centre somewhere.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, dedicating sites to shopping centres for local shopping is actually quite a complex exercise. It has to meet a whole of Launceston, Greater Launceston strategy for where your retail precincts are. At the moment, there is no plan, strategic plan, for a separate, like what you would call like a local neighbourhood shopping centre, because the marketplace, only 400 sort of metres away as the crow flies, a very short distance, walkable distance to much of this suburb, is considered to be the primary retail centre. That being said, if there is a case for more localised facilities, like a childcare centre or a medical centre particularly, there is actually a lack of medical facilities in the heart of our area. Yes. That's something that is very seriously looked at. The other issue is the economic bona fides of, you know, these things have got to survive. So they've got to look at their competition. So there are financial viability questions that are very real, and you need a certain critical mass to make that work.
No, I understand that quite clearly, but all I wanted to know was there is no plans or allocation for that space.
No, because
we
already have those facilities at the right level, but the opportunity exists, and I know it's being looked at for those small number of things.
No, thank you very much for that.
Thank you. One more, Councillor Sinfield.
As a follow-up to that, and framing it as a question, there was at one stage a proposal in the northern side of near the junction with Casino Rise and Casino Drive at one point to have somewhat of a commercial piece there, wasn't there? But that's been dropped or...
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. It was it was posed as a possibility at the time, and going through their community consultation, adjoining neighbours, that sort of thing, looking at viability, scales of precinct, it's basically been put aside.
Thanks, Joe. Any other questions, councillors? If not, go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Sheriff.
No, I have nothing more to add.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand, say aye. Against? Councillor Temple, and abstaining for Councillor Sinfield. Thank you. Motion passed. Thank you for those on Zoom. Okay. Moving out of Planning Authority. Corporate Services 1. Somebody like to move the Corporate Services 1? Councillor Kelly, thank you. Seconder, Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Kelly, there's no comment. Councillor White, no comment. Open it up for discussion, councillors. Take that as no discussion, councillors.
What page is that on?
323, Michael, sorry. While we take this opportunity to thank Justin, you come and sit at the table, Justin. We don't ask hardly any questions of you because we must all be happy with what you put in front of us. So thank you and well done. And I see John sits there beside you, so thanks, John, for the work that you do as well. But obviously the Tasmanian Audit Office found no problems as such, so which is really good. John?
So through you, Mr. Mayor, that's correct. There's a couple of recommendations that they've made to go to the audit panel, but there was no sort of adverse findings, which is good, and there'd be opportunity for the community and I guess all elected members and any officers to make comment or ask questions at Council's AGM in December.
Thanks, John. Any other questions, comments, councillors? Take that as no. I'll put it back then. Councillor White is the seconder. No, Councillor Kelly is the mover. Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you. Corporate Services 2 on page 333, Michael.
Yep, got it.
That's all right. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Kelly. Seconder, Councillor White. Councillor Kelly. Councillor White. Thank you. I'll reiterate that. Thank you, Justin, for your work on this one. Any other comments, councillors? I'll take that as a no. As a seconder, Councillor White, any further comments? Councillor Kelly?
I did have a couple of questions that I asked Jono to clear up, which I should have, in theory, possibly asked Justin.
And are you going to ask those questions or you've asked them? You're already cleared. Okay, thank you. All right, on that basis, I'll put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Against, that is unanimous. Thank you. Corporate Services 3, page 348. Somebody like to move? Thank you, Councillor White. Seconder, thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Councillor White is the mover. Thank you, Councillor Kelly. No comment. Open up for discussion, councillors. No comments. Then I'll say thank you for Councillor Temple for putting his hand up for the audit panel and Councillor Frederick for going along and sitting in and seeing what it's like. And I think further agenda item might be something to do with the audit panel.
Yep.
So no further comments, councillors. Put the motion. Oh, well, I'll go back to Councillor Kelly as a seconder. No, Councillor White. No. Put the motion. All those in favour, please. All right. Against. Carried. Corporate Services 4. Mover and a seconder, Councillor Kelly. Seconder, thanks. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. Councillor Kelly. No comment, Councillor Sheriff. Sorry, Councillor Kelly and then Councillor Sheriff.
There's only a few minor updates to this, so I don't see a problem with it.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Comments? Nope. Okay. Back to Councillor Sheriff. No, nothing further, Councillor Sheriff. Councillor Kelly? Nothing further? Okay. I'll put the motion. All those in favour say aye. Raise your hands. Unanimous. Thank you. Corporate Services 5. After mover. Thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cameron. Thank you. Councillor White is the mover.
I have a question.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay. So we see that in the definitions that arm's length terms have been removed. Could you just clarify as to why that is? Or they've removed or added?
So through you, Mr. Mayor. So, yeah, just in the definitions, we added a sentence to, I guess, to clarify, because there's a reference to that later, but just to sort of get all of the definitions in the same area. So, yes, that was added in this review.
Thanks. Councillor Cameron is the seconder. No. Open up for discussion. Questions, councillors? Take that as... No questions, no comments. Nothing to add, Councillor Cameron. Councillor White, nothing. Right, I'll put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Against? Councillor Sinfield, against. Infrastructure 1, page 383. Okay, Councillor Cameron, thank you. I was just waiting for the seats to change, Councillor Cameron. Seconder. Seconder for the motion, Councillor Frydrick, thank you. As the mover, Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, I'm happy to support it temporarily, and I think we made that clear that I want to see a review in it, but we've made a commitment that we could do that within in line with the next budget, so I'm happy to go ahead with this at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Frydrick is the second. Do you wish to make any comment? No. Open up for discussion, councillors. Comments? Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, my question is a technical one. We're deleting all the implementation guidelines, but do they... And I think I saw somewhere either in the workshop or wherever that later in the year we would be dealing with that. But... What happens in the meantime? Do we have guidelines? Do they remain as a separate thing? If they're deleted from this before we implement them elsewhere, what is the... Now are we now in the limbo land, I guess, is my question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the intent is just to decouple them, so the implementation guidelines, I guess, are still there and used by the team. It's just not connected to the policy. That's why it's removed from that.
What then gives them teeth? At the moment, they have their teeth because they're part of this. What we're going to maintain them, but on what basis do we maintain them, I guess, is the, before we've dealt with them.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're just treating it as a separate document that's used. So it doesn't... it's deleted from the policy document, but as you said, perhaps a technicality, Councillor. Yep.
Okay, Councillor John Harmy, comment.
And just through you, Mr. just to confirm, with the fees and charges that are referenced in that section that have been scheduled for removal, Council in July approved the fees and charges under section, I think it's 205 of that, the Act for the year. So for the full financial year, we will continue to apply those fees based on that decision.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Comments? No. Well, as Councillor Cameron said, we will commit to reviewing our structure of fees going forward in the next budget season prior to the next financial year. That's what we'd like to see and look at, and whether we can give our sporting clubs a helping hand going forward, I guess. So look forward to that review. Back to Councillor Frydrick as the second of the motion. Any comments, Councillor? No. Councillor Cameron as the mover? No. Okay, on that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you. No. I thought you voted. I thought your hand was up. I took it as an up, Rodney. It was... Okay. All right. Governance one. Thank you, Councillor White. Does Mike have to sit out on this one? I don't. It's not a personal interest.
It's an appointment.
It's an appointment, no. Thanks for raising it, but... He's not voting for a pay rise, so I think we'll be wrong. Okay, is the mover Councillor White? Councillor Cameron? No.
Thank you for taking on the role.
Well, I think you told me I must. No, look, just a short comment on that. I was very impressed with what I saw, and I thought the person leading it done extremely good job, so happy to be part of it.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other questions, comments, Councillors? I'll take that as a no. Anything else, Councillor Cameron? Councillor White? yeah, and I'll reiterate Councillor Temple for stepping up and Councillor Frederick. Thank you. Good luck. Oh, we'd better put the vote, I suppose. All those in favour, please say aye. Against? Carried. Yep, Governance 2. Councillor Cameron is stepping out. Yeah. Welcome, Nate. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Somebody like to move, somebody like, thank you, Councillor White. Seconder, please. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. Councillor White is the mover.
Yes, thank you, Nate, for the work that you and the committee have done in considering all the applications and working out who gets what. So thanks for that.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sheriff.
Yeah, top job. It's going to be some happy faces out there by the looks of these figures.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors? I don't know. Can you... Saw that. Just a question for Nate. Is that a spelling mistake? Rotary Passport Club of Tasmania, Inc. Carols by Candlelight?
No, that's correct.
Okay. That's correct. Yep. Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, more just I had a representation prior to the council meeting from somebody about the Westbury... the book, the historical mental blank on the Westbury show, and given that the comments been made earlier today in relation to a couple of other matters, can we perhaps revisit that at a near future workshop in terms of its relationship to community grant?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. I think I sent out an email to that effect that we would be bringing it to a workshop.
Very good. Any other questions, councillors, comments? Great question from me first, John. Are there many applications that come in, Nate, that we don't give any money to as such? Are there anything that we... Because I read through this and see that most... organisations or people have an ask and we give them something. Is there any that we don't, out of interest?
There are some.
The book. Well, I suppose the book's one.
There have been some historically that we didn't believe met the actual criteria.
Yeah.
So they've, over the years, there's been
a few. Yeah, it's pretty well covered. So some that don't make criteria and some that then don't get recommended through the committee's recommendations.
Yep. Well, thank you. Anything else, councillors?
Yeah, I was just on the same sort of thing. I don't see Cape Side. I don't see anybody here. I see basically three spots. I've realised that, but is it the quality of the applications from those areas, or aren't they important to you guys because you live in Westbury?
Can I make a comment? Well, I mean, it's a bit hard for Western Creek to be applying for community grants for our hall and whatnot since we haven't had the hall for decades, so that's some of the issues, is that those smaller areas now haven't got facilities that they once had that you might... You know, whereas Westbury, Deloraine, larger centres, Carrick have still got things that it doesn't mean it's impossible to find something for those other areas.
No, thank you.
You can make a comment, Councillor Kelly. Yep, no, that's fine. Yep, no, got that one. All right, any other questions, comments, councillors? If not, Councillor Sheriff as the second. Any comments? Councillor White as the mover. Very good. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Councillor Temple. Just want to check. Yeah, all right, thank you. Against? Carried. Yes. Ready, Councillor Cameron in? Yes. Was you at the door listening? Okay, governance three. Welcome, Melissa. Okay, somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Page 406, councillor. Too much paperwork in it. After a mover, Councillor Cameron, thank you. And a seconder, Councillor White, thank you. As the mover, Councillor Cameron, any?
Look, I'm very happy to support that Council has Indigenous recognition policy. We had a little bit of a discussion about this on the workshop, and disappointed in myself to learn that I actually knew nothing about what was required. So I'm happy to take advice to go further with this.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor White?
Yes, similarly, very pleased to see Council's processes improving in this way. We all know a bit more now with what's put in front of us. And I'm just trying to think of where... Maybe I'll save a question for a bit later.
Thanks, yep. Councillor White. I'll open it up for discussion then, Councillor Kelly.
I did have a question. There was a couple of changes being made.
Yes.
Have they been made?
Well...
I couldn't quite remember what it was.
Jim.
It was to do with the naming.
It was to do with two tribes, but look at where one in the original one, we only had one particular tribe.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. We have been back to the known elders, local elders, and gotten feedback. The reason why it's a consultation draft is that we want to give the various clans or peoples in the municipality an opportunity to put their two bobs worth in terms of what is happening. We've changed the wording to acknowledge, I think, a couple of concepts. One is the past people, the Palatore and Paninahe, I think is the pronunciation, as the past peoples that are no longer on the land but are represented from... Indigenous peoples that are occupying Meander Valley local government area now. It also brings into play the full Tasmanian sort of recognition around the Palawa. and we're hoping over the next 4 weeks of consultation to get a validation of those positions and the wording in the document, which is what was also discussed at workshop. Yep.
Thanks, Jim. The hand's going up everywhere. Councillor White, you had a question you foreshadowed.
It's actually a comment, and it's about the financial consideration. I personally feel that it's a bit of a shame to put this activity on a commercial basis, and I would be keen to see Council reimburse anyone who came to do this Wellington Country for us for their costs, but to put a fee on it seems to me to run contrary to the spirit of the engagement.
I fully agree with Councillor White, and I thought we actually agreed to that prior when we had the big discussion on that, that we will ask the local, and there is plenty local people available. We pay their expense, i.e. car travel or whatever it might be. And if the council would want to do any donation, then I would rather make it as a donation to whoever the people are as a group rather than to an individual.
Okay, Councillor, General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just under on page 408, under Welcome to Country, we've maintained in the spirit of community service, it is anticipated a Welcome to Country will be provided at no cost. Council will, however, reimburse any demonstrated or reasonable costs incurred in attending or conducting the ceremony. In feedback from some of the Indigenous representatives, the elders, they suggested that a fee was expected or appropriate. Also happy to take that on notice over the next 4 weeks and bring that back in terms of a clarified position. But your idea of a donation to a group rather than individuals is also an option. So, yep.
Thanks, Councillor Temple, and then Councillor Sinfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question does relate to the Welcome to Country as well. It says that Council will invite a recognised representative. Does that imply that we will have a list of recognised representatives to work from? And what is the criteria for someone to be recognised? And secondly, what happens if we make the invitation and no one partakes? And then we have what we call an event of significance, and then we fail to have the Welcome to Country. So it's a two-part question.
Yeah. Look, I've been to one function, Councillor, where there has been a Welcome to Country to be delivered and that person didn't turn up. Then there was just the acknowledgement of country. That's the fallback from what I can see. But
yeah. The first part of the question, Mr. Mayor, was will we have a list of recognised representatives, and what would be the criteria to be on that list?
That's for the GM to answer.
Look, I think that's one of the, through you, Mr. Mayor, that's one of the questions that we'll ask the community, but my sense of it would be that we'd be looking for the elders to nominate representatives once we understand which peoples are involved in the municipality. The elders of those peoples would nominate representatives, and that would probably be a go-to list eventually.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, you've said earlier that you've already talked to Indigenous peoples, but note, or the recommendation number two is for a one-month period from the date of today, basically, our ordinary meeting. Is that sufficient for, you know, it's not something that we need to, on the one hand, have on the Never Never, but you wouldn't also need to rush this, I wouldn't have thought. So is a month sufficient time to get the broader community's input, especially when, you know, other than those who've read today's agenda wouldn't be aware that we're going to have that conversation, so we're educating them presumably that it's going to occur, and then limiting it to 4 weeks at the same time. Is there any reason why it couldn't be 2 months?
Microphone, Melissa.
Oh, sorry. I feel we've already done quite extensive consultation at this stage. I think we just need to really confirm those few points.
Thanks, Minister. Any other questions, comments, councillors, before I put the motion? No? Okay. All right. Councillor White is the seconder of the... Councillor Cameron is the mover. Thank you. On that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Against? Councillor Sheriff's against. Thank you. So, Governance 4, the Meander Valley Council Annual Plan is Governance 4. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Thank you, Councillor Frederick. Second up, Councillor White, thank you. As the mover, Councillor Frederick, any comments? If so, please turn your microphone on. No, no, it's...
No, my neighbour. Just a question, I don't have a problem with it, but it says here it's recommended that the council adopt the attached and then it goes to the people for the Meander Council plan to be available for viewing and review. So,
can I answer that too?
Is there going to be a second after the review if people don't like it?
It's Council, it's not for review, it's for viewing. So the annual plan is a public document and will be circulated
and, review, sorry.
And available for public and regulatory viewing and oversight. So we'll do quarterly reporting against this plan.
Point seven.
Yep. Community consultation. Yes, it should be viewing.
Okay.
Well picked up, Councillor.
Be read.
Councillor White is a seconder. Any comments? Thank you. Open up for discussion, Councillor Kelly. You didn't turn your microphone on to say that. Sorry.
Just a bit of a grinner for the day to make us laugh. The 52 dogs that return to their owners. I had one dog counted three times.
What about the rock?
Yes, he was charged three times. Any comments, Councillor Temple?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does 4.1, what's the word I'm looking for? I had the word.
What page, Councillor Temple?
On 427. No, does 4.1 preempt an item in the closed agenda? 4.1 in the table, I should say.
Manage public health, best money is...
Council operates with an average of 4.1 star.
No.
Not that one.
No, progress delivery of new community facilities, including Bracknell Memorial Hall, Deloraine Squash Courts, and that's the one I was thinking of. 427. I'm not saying it's a problem. You know, is it a problem or not? If it's not...
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council, I don't think it's a problem. It's an annual plan and we report on a quarterly basis, and during the course of the year there will be emergent issues like decisions of council that will stop, accelerate or change the deliverables in the annual plan. The plan is something that evolves.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other questions? Councillor Sinfield?
Yes, I think we've changed the
approach of the document from previous years, is that correct? In terms of things such as, I think I'm just trying to go back and find it, summarises budget estimates, etc. Page 411, for example, there's a couple of references there to summarises. Is that, have we changed the structure of the document or not made it as complete as it?
Yeah, look, as under the officer's report, the annual plan has generally been focused on the major non-business as usual issues rather than listing pages and pages of excruciating, important but boring stuff, I call it. We've tried to focus on the highlights that are more of interest to the community rather than the fiduciary and corporate responsibilities of the organisation.
Thanks, General Ranger. Any other questions, councillors?
Further to those comments, I would say the presentation is very good. It's not so much a comment about the content of it, but in the presentation, I think it's a user-friendly document that would encourage community perusal. So I think it's been very well done in that respect. Yes, I think the amendments or amendment are very timely, if not overdue. The inclusion of the matter of sexual harassment is obviously of great importance. This provides some clarity, some specificity in terms of use of language, which I think is really important. So I would say it's a significant improvement.
Yeah, I'd support this. Obviously, this document's got to evolve with time and probably hasn't been updated for a while, so, yeah, good job.
Thanks, Councillor. Open it up for debate, discussion, councillors. Councillor Sinfield.
I'm going to be abstaining from this item for other reasons, but in my view, I need to go back and find it, the recommendation dot point two, in my view, is invalid. It says to resolve to submit the proposed councillor code of conduct to the Minister for Local Government for approval of the varied code of conduct in accordance with section 28T3 of the Act. Reading of that section of the Act says that any amendment to a local or an individual council code of conduct is to be done by way of a schedule, in other words, an addendum or an attachment to the code of conduct. If you're asking in the, as you are in the next dot point, that the minister might adopt it as the model code of conduct, then you're presenting it within the document itself. But if you're asking for the Meander Valley Council's code of conduct to be amended, then it is done by way of a schedule, not by the manner proposed. Going to the actual wording itself, if you give me a moment, the code of conduct, going to part 7E, the proposed additional words, it says must act consistently with the duties of a worker as defined under the Tasmanian Work Health and Safety Act. Section 5.5 of that Act says that councillors individually in the role of an elected representative are not the conductor of the business,
then in Section 7 of that Act, we clearly do not meet the definition of a worker. And whilst I understand that it's saying we're acting consistently with it, we are under that Act referred to, if you like, in a general sense, as other persons, but we are not a worker. We are, in fact, the conductor of the business, the general manager's employer, collectively. So there's a couple of,
thanks, Councillor.
Couple of issues.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we have advice from Legat and other sources that councillors, for the purpose of the Workplace Health and Safety Act, are in fact regarded as volunteers. And to be very clear, the person carrying out the business under Workplace Health and Safety is in fact the general manager, not councillors.
Thanks, General Manager.
That is in fact what I just said, but what I'm saying is the preamble to Section 7 of that Act has, now I haven't got it in front of me, says that whilst we're volunteers, we are not doing work for the general manager, the conductor of the business. We don't meet the first part of...
Well, we are conducting work in a workplace, Councillor, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And somebody has to be responsible for that workplace,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, but we are not a worker conducting work for the person conducting the business. We employ the person who's conducting the business. But anyway, as I say, I'm abstaining for the matter for other reasons, but I don't believe, as you've got it worded, that it cuts the mustard. And secondly, I think people are reading the Code of Conduct, perhaps, without reading the supplementary document that goes with it. It is part of the Code of Conduct, and it addresses a whole heap of points in terms of Clause 7 that you're proposing to amend in the Code of Conduct itself. There is a corresponding Clause 7 in the supplementary document that says a councillor is to be respectful in his or her conduct, communication and relationships with members of the community, fellow councillors and council employees in a way that builds trust and confidence in the council. The two elements are to be read together. So anyway, they're just some of the issues that I would have with what is being proposed.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors with comments, questions? Jackie, can you make a comment? Yes.
Just through you, Mr. Mayor, just in relation to the question of the technicality under Section 28T, if it's... In a theoretical sense, it might matter for the purposes of the resolution whether it's listed as a schedule or not. I think the intent of the variation is very, very clear in both the agenda and in the motion. But if that creates a doubt, then that's quite easily fixed. We just need a few moments to review that. These are the sorts of matters that are invited to be raised at workshop, and it gives us an opportunity to work through technical issues. But I would say that I would just want a moment to actually review whether there are any technicalities that need to be addressed prior to moving.
Right.
But in relation to the other point raised on the definition of a worker, the Work Health Safety Act includes a volunteer, and clearly the person conducting the business is the general manager in relation to this business.
So you're actually asking for a 5-10 minute...
To review the technicalities of the Local Government Act, yes, and then I can provide a reasonable opinion in response to what was just raised at the last minute there.
Councillor Cameron, you...
In Part 7C, says we must not threaten a member of the community. To take that to an extreme, and you might think I'm being ridiculous, but if there was a member of the community that was engaged in a crime, we could not threaten them that we will call the police.
You could have John Temple.
No, Jackie? We're a councillor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can respond to that. The ordinary meaning of a threat wouldn't include a threat to take a lawful action, like contacting police. That would be an absurdity. It would preclude any person in the street from ever saying they're going to call the police if they felt that they needed to. So that's not within the ordinary definition of the word threaten. I would just add as well that the code that we have that's been given to us by the local government division, or by the minister, I should say, it uses words like offend and embarrass, which are far more broad than threaten. Threaten has a far more clearly understood and better settled definition, I would suggest.
The other one, Mr. Mayor, was in 4A, that we may not contact an employee without the council, without the unless they're authorised by the general manager. That actually gives us less access to council staff than a normal member of parliament, a normal member of the public.
Jackie, sorry.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is not an amendment to the model code as it stands. That is an existing provision. That's why it's not highlighted in yellow. So the grammar of item 4 under part 7 is changed to have an A and a B, but all of the section that is not yellow is already part of the model, and that's what's come to us by order from the minister. We haven't sought to vary that.
So I'm just saying it's a matter of fact that we have less ability to contact staff than the general public.
Potentially, yes, potentially. Councillor Cameron?
I think Jackie might have helped answer or drive me in this right direction. But so we had a brief discussion about this in a workshop where I asked for some clarification on some things. And I must say I was quite surprised to see it come straight back to the council meeting. I would have preferred to see that come back to the workshop for discussion. I'm not quite sure what the motivation was to bring it back, and I don't fully understand the ramifications of adopting this, and my preference would be to bring it back to a workshop. I just couldn't vote for it. I just don't understand it.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Frederick?
Just to clarify what the question was, I've asked the same question regarding contacting people. And I got a very clear reply that you have 4 directors that you are welcome to contact, and I fully back that you shouldn't be able to, on council business, you should not be able to go directly to the people under those directors. Otherwise, it becomes a circus like in any other business. So I'm fully with that.
Thanks, Councillor. General Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Having worked in all 3 levels of government, federal, state and local government, that is entirely consistent. Elected representatives do not have full and open access to departmental staff.
All right. Well, we might take a 10-minute break while Jackie looks at the relevant legislation to come back and give us some guidance. There's a motion sitting on the table at the moment, Councillor, so I can't do that. Yes, we have 10 minutes. Welcome back, Councillors. So the break, you were after some clarification on some technicalities. Jackie, please tell us what you found.
Just confirming that the recommendation stands. We do recommend that it be submitted to the Minister under 28T, subsection 3, subsection 4 in relation to scheduling, become relevant if ministerial approval is offered to the amended changes.
Okay. So the offer was that this will go to the minister. It's up to the minister then to review and approve this code if it goes to that. And we've gone to Legat asking their thoughts on this code of conduct. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've had some feedback from a representative from Legat.
Okay. All right. Wait. Councillor Temple.
Could you just clarify that, Mr. Mayor? The process is that it will go to the minister.
Yes.
And the minister will then...
If the minister chooses to... Well, quick, you go, John.
Yeah, Yeah, the first step is for the Minister to give consent for the amended model code of conduct, and then the process would come back and then be sort of promulgated. The alternative to that is the Minister may choose to take the amendments as proposed and roll it out across all jurisdictions in terms of all local government authorities. So, yep.
So we're saying it would go to the Minister, something would then come back for the Minister, and then we would have to, when you say promulgate, that's for us to do you mean?
So the points Rodney raised are the next steps in the process. This is the beginning of a process, and it doesn't go too far without the Minister's approval. Okay, so all of this is doing is providing to the Minister a suggested amendment for Meander Valley.
And would the Minister be seeking the advice of the Department? Or is this just something the Minister can do at whim?
The Minister has the prerogative of a Minister. In my experience, Ministers typically go to their departments for advice, just like councillors obtain expert advice. The Minister's aware of it, and also the Local Government Division are aware of it, and I spoke to the Director about it yesterday.
Okay. Any other questions, councillors? Oh, okay. Councillor Sheriff as the seconder of the motion? Nothing. Councillor Watt as the mover of the motion? Okay, on that basis, I'll put the motion as it stands. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, Councillor Temple was 6. All those against? Councillor Cameron's against, and Councillor Simford already noted that he would abstain. Thank you. Moving on. Right. You've voted for the motion as it stands, Councillor. But there is the process that goes to the Minister. The Minister may well say, no, thank you. No, it's not in concrete at all. Okay. So we are moving into... So would somebody like to move, somebody like second that we close the meeting? Don't rush. Councillor Kelly, seconder, please. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. I don't think we need any discussion on that. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Right. Against? Carried.